Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all the happy faces out here this morning. And if you, I know some of you, first-time visitors, I'm glad that you're here. And I have some friends from my Middlesex Shooting Club here with me today. I work with real close with my good buddy, Butch, and his wife and sister-in-law. So if y'all... glad that you're all here. And if you're visiting, you're looking for a church home, we hope this is the place that you sit down and become a part of. And we have some announcements this morning. First, Rick Turpin went to be with the Lord Thursday, wasn't it? So I talked to his wife, Drew, Friday. His service is going to be in Maryland tomorrow, up I think Bowie, Maryland. And then he's going to be buried over in Alexandria. And she's going to get with me when she gets back sometime this week. She said she missed coming to church because the reason was that she would go to be with him at the nursing home on Sundays. And I told her I understood fully. So she says she wants to try to get back. She misses y'all. So, for other announcements, we got Pew Bibles. I'm not going to read all of this, but there's a note here on the Pew Bibles. So if you want to... given to have one in memory of somebody. There's still some available. You know, is there still some Pew Bibles available? Didn't need. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Annie Armstrong Mission Easter offering. We'll take that through Easter. There's envelopes back there available if you haven't already gotten one, and of course keep that in your giving and in your prayers. And also there's a brochure. Oops, there's a brochure for back there. Senior Saints Ministry meeting tomorrow night here at church at 7 o'clock. Vacation Bible School voluntary meeting Sunday the 6th, following the service in the fellowship hall. Michelle Jenkins would like to meet with anyone planning on volunteering for VBS in June. Deacons of WAME meetings Tuesday the 8th at 7 p.m. And then Fairport Baptist Church Children and Youth Easter celebration Saturday, April the 12th from 2 to 4. And then there's a note here about a Bible that was presented to the church that was given to T.C. Wooten on April the 27th, 1941, during Fellowship Day in recognition as the oldest member present at 84 years old. Fairport Baptist Church Pastor Thomas N. Toombs presented it. Now, the family member, Joyce Harris Demetrio, returned this Bible to Fairport Baptist Church, which is in the Breezeway display case, if you'd like to see that. Okay. And all right, any other announcements? Anything? Buddy? Did I leave anything in? Oh. All righty. We're going. Somebody give me a bigger bell this morning. yes, sir. And I'm going to ring it, and you get up, and you can visit your neighbors, and then when I ring it, you can sit back. And I think you can hear this one. All right. Good up. Welcome your neighbors this morning.
I love it.
You may be seated. All right. Vicki had her hand raised early. I didn't catch it, and somebody in the choir told me. So she said she had something she wants to say to y'all this morning.
This is way, way overdue, but I just wanted to thank every one of you for your prayers on many things that this church family has done for me while I had surgery in August and then again in November with meals, with prayers. I greatly appreciate your prayers. I was in a very dark place at different times, and I just thank you very, very much. I thank the WMA, the Sunday School Women, the Senior Saints, and everyone here. You are my family. When I was away from you, there's that missing piece of coming together in a congregation and being together with that spirit that's in each one of us and the excitement of sharing our love for Jesus Christ in our songs and greeting one another and, of course, the preaching of the word. So I just wanted to say thank you. I'm sorry it took me so long, but better late than never is how I was.
We are one, I'm considered big happy family, okay? Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you such a beautiful day, not only beautiful outside, but beautiful inside. And we've come to offer you our worship and praise, to give you all the glory. And we've come to acknowledge you as the one true living God. We've come to thank you for the gift of eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is moving among us today. And may we feel his movement, may we hear his voice, and may we leave here obedient to your word today. And may, as we go through this fellowship and this time of worship, we enjoy it in a way that is pleasing to you. For this we all pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
There's a song to raise like a banner. morning. It's time for you folks to sing now. 193, our first praise song this morning. Stand as we sing. Body's so good. He has made me glad.
The children this morning. Todd is not here, so I'm going to speak to you this morning. So come on up. We got to come on up. You want to come up? Oh. Y'all want to come up, huh? No, I'm not. I don't bite. I'm a grandfather. I have grandkids. They love me to death. In fact, one of them one day I was shopping and I had him with me, and it was something he wanted. And he said, "Granddad, I want that." And I says, "Well, you got any money?" He says, "Yeah." I says, "Where is it?" He says, "It's in your pocket." Come on up. Come on up. You got Minnie Mouse, huh? All right. This morning, I do what I do every Sunday morning when I get up and I shower and I shave and all of that, get dressed and get ready to come to church. But then I go get my Bible and I sit down with my Bible and I go over, have some notes in there for what I'm going to preach to the big people this morning. And then I pray. And when I got through praying, I looked up out the front window and there were two doves on the lawn. You know what a dove is? It's a bird, okay? And they were picking in the grass. They're going around. I watched them. They were picking in the grass. You know what they were picking for? their food. Now, whether it be seeds or bugs or worms, I know we don't eat worms, but they do. And they were picking that. And then I watched that, and then I looked up, and there was a couple of trees in the front yard, and they were starting to bloom. They had flowers on them. One was real pretty white flowers, and look, the other was a dogwood, and it had some white. And you know, if you ever seen a dogwood leaf, it was in the shape of a cross, and it had white and kind of a purple in it. It was real pretty. And you know what it made me think about? You know, Jesus talked to us, and he said, God takes care of the birds. He provided food for those birds this morning, for those dove. And God provides for those beautiful flowers that grow in the fields and on the trees and so forth. And you know what Jesus said? He said, we're more important to God than those birds and those flowers. And what Jesus is telling us is, now, do you need anybody to know what the word worry means? Do you wonder whether something's going to come from or whether you're going to get it or not? Yeah, okay. But what Jesus tells us is that if we trust God, he's going to take care of us. He's going to see that we have food. He's going to see that we have clothes and all those other things that we need. So we need to trust God for him and not to worry about it. Okay, we're going to do that? Okay, all right, let's have a little prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning, and we thank you for the little ones that are here, and we pray that they know that you're going to take care of them and watch over them all through their lives, just as you look over all of us big folks. This we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for all the blessings of life. We thank you for all that you give us. And we thank you for all the provisions. We thank you that you care for us, you're watching over us, and we're more important than anything else in your creation. And that it was created for us, and that we were created to have fellowship with you. And we thank you that that fellowship has been restored through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray today that you would be with those that cannot be here today. We know particularly those that have recently lost a loved one, those that are recovering from some surgery or some illness or some disease or whatever it may be, that your healing hand would be upon each of them and bring them comfortably back to us. And we pray that we, each and every one of us, knows the peace that you've given us in your heart through your Son, Jesus Christ. And to know that that peace gives us the ability to live out our lives and not to worry so much about the small, insignificant things. We know that you're going to take care of us. And we, as long as we trust and believe in you, and we know that you will always provide, even until the day that we go into your eternal kingdom, because you've provided us everlasting life. And pray now as we go through this service, we're intent upon listening to you, what you have to say to us, and that we'd leave here to be your ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ out in the world. For this we all pray in his holy and precious name. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness. 139. Stand as we sing.
There is no
There was a fellow who tried to get rid of an old trash can. It's one of those things you can't get the garbage man to pick up. The man put an old rusty can out on the street one morning thinking the garbage man would understand that it needed to be thrown away. When he came back that afternoon, the can was stacked up with the rest of his empty cans. The next week, he put it out again. This time, he turned it upside down so that they could see the bottom had several holes in it and it needed being thrown away. When he came home, it was stacked up next to the empty cans again. The next week, he took a sledgehammer and beat the can in pretty good, and he left it out front. When he came home, not only was it stacked up next to the other cans, but the garbage man had actually tried to beat it back into shape. He finally did the only one thing he could do. He went to the hardware store, bought a heavy-duty chain and padlocked, and he chained the old can to a large tree in the front yard. Sure enough, that night, somebody stole it. Now, worry is like that trash can. We know we need to get rid of it, but it's not so easy to do. So we're going to look at how to conquer worry today on this, as we continue the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. So if you want to turn there, of course, there's an outline in your bulletin. Matthew 6, starting verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet of your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon is all in all of his glory has not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day that is the evil thereof. We need to realize that worrying is choosing not to trust God. Worry shows a lack of trust in God. When we trust God, we do not worry. Worry says you got a problem and you don't think that God can take care of it and see you through it. It hinders your witness. It consumes you and you miss opportunities to witness. It impacts in negative because you worries exhibit a lack of faith to others. Worry is like a rocking chair. You can sit in it and rock all day and it ain't going to take you any place. It's like putting your car into neutral. I hope you don't do this. You put your car in neutral and rev it up. It burns gas and oil hard on the engine, and it really doesn't get you anywhere. In fact, you keep it up, you can blow the engine. Jesus says, don't worry. He says, your life is more important than things. Don't be overly concerned about food and clothing. That's something I've never, in fact, I've never come up short. All through my life, I grew up, and my dad was in the Navy for 22 years. Back then, of course, sailors didn't make that much. And my mother didn't work. My mother was a home person. She stayed at home. She took care of all the things. And my dad, when he was at sea, his money, his checks were all sent to my mom. He trusted my mom with every bit of it. And I think my mother could take a dollar and stretch it around a tree. But we never wanted for clothes, never wanted for food. Now, we didn't have some of the fancier things some of the more wealthier people and better off people had. But we're always provided for. I always had a roof over our head, always had food. In fact, good food. My mother was an excellent cook. But I never growing up, I never had to worry about clothes. I never had to worry about food or any of those things. God gives life. You should trust him for the lesser things. If he can give you life and provide for it, trust him for the lesser things. Jesus says we're more important than animals. We're more important than those birds. He feeds the birds. Surely we're more important to him than those birds. Now, that doesn't mean for us to be lazy and shiftless, not to work. No one works any harder than the average sparrow for his food. God doesn't throw the worms and the bugs and the seed up into the nest. They got to go pick for it. He provides the food for them, but they've got to go get it. Same way with us. We've got to earn that living in order to afford the food and stuff. And it's in the scriptures, you know, when we talk about, you know, people always wanting to be taken care of. You know, come to, first thing to do to come to the church looking for handouts. And the scriptures tell us that if they don't work, then they don't get it. You got to work. That bird gets out and he picks for it, just as we have to do. Just as I saw this morning after I prayed and I looked up and I told the children about those two doves out there in the yard. Just as soon as I got through praying about it, I looked. And God gave me the object lesson right there, two doves. And then the beautiful flowers in the trees. Jesus says, we're important than the lilies of the field. Consider the beauty of the flowers. I know this time of the year stuff is starting to bloom. I think the daffodils are up. And of course, the dogwoods are starting to bloom and other trees are starting to get those blooms on them. It won't be long and everything will be starting to get green again, and they're going to be people, you go by houses, they're going to be beautiful flowers in their flower beds and stuff like that. And if God will clothe those in beauty, how much more will he clothe us? And what did Jesus say? Oh, ye of little faith. Think about that, Jesus. Oh, ye of little faith. Strengthen your faith. Trust him. We need to understand how harmful worry can become in our lives. It can damage your health. It can break down the resistance to disease. It can affect the immune system. They call this kind of psychosomatic, I'm not a doctor, but it's a big word, psychosomatic conditions. It causes stress. 38% of all deaths are heart-related, and many of those are related to hypertension, high blood pressure, and anxiety. I don't know if you remember this. You used to watch it, Sanford and Son. You remember Fred Sanford? I'm coming home. I'm coming home. He'd start pounding on the heart. I'm coming home. It brings unhappiness, sleeplessness nights, causes days void of internal sunshine. I had a, bless her heart, she's gone on now, but my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, was a real worrier. And I had all the time preaching to her about not to worry about so much about things. But she just couldn't get over it. It can cause the object of your worry to consume you. Worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. Think about that. It disrupts your productivity. It will negatively affect the way you treat others. It will reduce your ability to trust God. There's a difference between worry and concern, though. Worry is fretting, worrying over, you know, what's going to happen next. What am I going to get next? Am I going to get this or get that or worry about all of that? That's worry. But concern is different. Concern is when you have things that you're concerned about, let's say your friend, your neighbor, your wife, your husband, your child, your a relative or whatever, you're concerned about their health. Or you're concerned about maybe some other problems they may be having. But you know what concern does? Concern goes into action. You do something about it. That's the difference. Worry is like a gnawing rat. In the early years of aviation, a pilot was making a flight around the world. After having taken off and was 2 hours into his flight, he heard a noise in the plane, which he recognized as the gnawing of a rat. He realized that while his plane had been on the ground, a rat had gotten in. For all he knew, the rat could be gnawing through a vital cable or control of the plane. It was a very serious situation. He was both concerned and anxious. At first, he did not know what to do. It was 2 hours back to where he had taken off and 2 hours more to the next landing field. He remembered that the rat is a rodent. It is not made for heights. It is made to live on the ground and under the ground. The pilot began to climb. He climbed 1,000 feet at a time until he was nearly 20,000 feet up. The gnawing ceased. The rat was dead. The rat could not survive at the high altitude. 2 hours later, the pilot landed safely at the next field and found the dead rat. Worry is like that rat. It can't live in the secret place of the Most High. It cannot breathe in the atmosphere of prayer and familiarity of Scripture. Worry dies when we ascend to the Lord in prayer and His Word. Instead of worrying about what we cannot do, we need to focus on what God can do. First, turn to God for help. We turn to Him, we talk to Him, we pray to Him. Fill your heart with His desires. He has desires for you and your life, seeking out His will for your life. He doesn't want you to be worrying all the time. He doesn't want you to be thinking about what's going to come next or what is not going to come next. Take His character on for a pattern. Serve and obey Him in everything. What is really important to you, people, objects, goals, and other desires that compete for priority in your life? What's most important? Worry brings fear and finds it difficult to trust God. Worry bumps God out of first place. Choose to give Him first place in every area of your life. Turn it all over to Him. You know, sometimes we have a problem with compartmentalizing. You know, we'll turn certain things over and certain things we don't want Him in. But He needs to be in all of it. We need to keep things in a proper perspective. Planning. Planning for tomorrow is well spent. But worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. I always think about, and I can't help it, but the movie Gone with the Wind. Remember Scarlett O'Hara? Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow may not come. But we need to be concerned about what's going on now. Trust in God for guidance. Isn't that part of the Lord's Prayer, that He would guide us and lead us not into temptation? Don't let worries about tomorrow affect your relationship with God today. We cannot remove worry until we replace it with something better. Turn your worries into prayers. When I start thinking about something, that's the first thing I do. I start praying about it. You want to worry less and pray more. Whenever you start to worry, stop and pray. God's peace can replace that worry. I found that in my own personal life. When something starts to problem me, I go to the Lord in it. And I leave it to Him. And somehow I come out of that with a peace. That true peace is found not in positive thinking, but it's in that it's different. It's that world, not the world's peace either. It's the peace that we get, the understanding with God. It's not found in the absence of conflict or in good feelings. It comes from knowing God is in control. No matter what's going on, look, He is in control. Now, you know what a deist is? Thomas Jefferson at one time was a deist. A deist believes that God created all of this. He put it into motion, and then He stepped back. He's still in control of it. He didn't step back. He's right in it. Knowing you're a citizen in Christ's kingdom is sure. Knowing you're going to heaven. To know that you're a pilgrim here. You're a sojourner. And you're working your way to heaven. You're just a temporary citizen here. Knowing your destiny is set. Knowing what Jesus promised you. Knowing what God has promised you. Knowing you have victory over sin and over death. Let God's peace guard your heart against worry. Trust in God. Turn it over to God. Dr. George McCausland was one of the great YMCA directors this world has ever known. Some years ago, he was serving a YMCA in western Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh. That YMCA was losing membership that led to financial difficulties and terrible staff problems. McCausland found himself working 85 hours a week. He found himself getting little sleep at night. He took little time off. When he was off, he was worrying and fretting about the problems of this YMCA. He went to a therapist who told him he was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. He had to do something to let go and somehow let God into his problems. He didn't quite know how to do that. So George took an afternoon off, took a pad and paper, took a walk in the western Pennsylvania woods. As he walked through the cool woods, he could just feel his tight body and his tight neck start to relax. He sat down under a tree and sighed. For the first time in months, he relaxed. He got out his pad and paper and he decided that he would let them go, the burdens of his life. He wrote God a letter. He said, "Dear God, today I hereby resign as general manager of the universe. Love, George." Then with a twinkle in his eye that is so characteristic of George McCausland, he said, "And wonder of wonders, God accepted my resignation." Quit worrying and carrying the weight of the world. Turn it over to God and leave it with God. Don't take it back. And it all starts with Jesus Christ. He is in charge of your destiny. We don't know what the future holds, but we can know who holds the future. And that is letting Him be our Lord and Savior. That first relieves the greatest worry that I had in my life years ago. Go to bed at night, lay my head down on a pillow and say a little prayer. Then I would worry, what should happen if I should not wake? Where would I end up? I wrestle with that. Till I finally found peace and trusted in God for my salvation. And realized as I lay down and go to sleep, if I don't wake up, I'm going to be in a better place. That's what happened to my wife. My wife went to sleep. She died in her sleep. In peace. The only regret I had is when I found her, I said, honey, I didn't get to tell you goodbye. But I knew where she went. And see her again someday. But turn it over to God. Leave it. And it starts with Jesus. And you know that he's forgiven you of your sins. You have eternal life. You'll someday spend eternity with him. As Paul said, his grace is sufficient for me. That's all you need. Quit worrying about the small stuff and leave it to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you that Jesus talked to us about worry and tell us about the things that are more important. We're more important than the birds of the field. We're more important than the lilies and the plants and the growths. That you are there to look after us, to take care of us. And that whatever it may be, we just turn it over to you. And we pray that each and every person here today knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and knows that's the most important thing that we need to do is to make that decision to follow him, make him our Lord and Savior, and to be heaven bound. We pray any decision I need to make makes to your glory and honors become in Jesus' name. Amen. 602, I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. I trust you.